Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Wednesday, July 14th, 2021. Thank you for joining me today. It seems we're looking good so far. No internet connectivity issues. But now you can see we're still setting up the sound room here at the new location. So this is what you're going to be seeing for the time being if we're in this location. But there's a lot of new fantastic things coming your way. And today we have a very important topic to talk about. Something. And by the way, let me know in the chat how the sound of the audio is, just to make sure, more so the microphone versus the echo. Always let me know how things are going in the chat. But today we have a very important conversation to talk about. Something that we've been really digging into a lot on this channel. And that's natural immunity versus anything else. Now, understand within that conversation, that's not to assume anything other than the fact that the natural immunity part of this is a relevant discussion that's being dismissed, right? This is not to discount the isolation discussion, to discount the concept of whether people are actually infected versus PCR tests. It's just important to understand that. We're well aware of the illusion. We've been, in fact, the ones battering that illusion down from the very beginning. The point is, today we're going to get into the concept of their research. And now even within their narrative and their studies that are coming out, it's showing you that natural immunity is not only the majority of people in this country, as well as Israel, other places we've talked about, are clearly, according to their narrative, have experienced this, which means by their other studies, it means they have natural immunity. Now, the question is that better than this injection they're giving people within their narrative, what they're claiming this can do and what they're claiming natural immunity can do? And I'll prove it to you very clearly based on what they've shown you, that natural immunity is exponentially better. And by the way, that's nothing contentious. That's always been the case. At the very least, the point being, I just was reading a doctor's article about this, that the whole point of vaccines in the past have always been to strive to be as good as natural immunity. Yet that's been flipped on its ear in this COVID clown world, and they're just kind of changing everything around. So we're going to talk about that today right out of the gate and show you a new information coming from, Israel, of all places, and an Israeli study telling you that this is, in fact, exactly what the title shows you. The people who are vaccinated are far, far sick, almost seven times more likely to get sick. Now, that's whether we're talking Delta or anything else. Delta, apparently even worse. But what's interesting to note is that the people who are not, people who have not vaccinated, that have gone through natural immunity, don't seem to be affected almost at all. Pretty telling, isn't it? We're also going to talk about some more information about the narrative, the mainstream discussion about that. We're going to talk about the door-to-door discussion that we just talked about yesterday, yet again being proven how ridiculous it is that they're telling you it's fake news and that's the one thing they're lying about. And here they are going door to door offering vaccinations. And the reason I want to show it again was because we talked about it yesterday or day before. I think it was yesterday. And no joke, before that time and today, I got two emails telling me I was making that up, that was a clip on Twitter and you couldn't prove. Well, we'll show it to you again today. That's always what seems to happen, because people, due diligence is the key. You see, not just buying what someone tells you or denying what someone tells you. It's about doing your due diligence. That's what we're all about. And of course, we're going to talk about fertility and reproductivity, of course, because this is a new study that Moderna is doing. Not some fringe side thing. No, Moderna itself is doing research on whether COVID-19 vaccines lead to miscarriages, stillbirths, and birth defects. Great. Sure glad we're doing that after it's been given to everybody. Of course, this is the same old thing we've been talking about. And of course, Spain, a very important discussion. Ruling lockdowns unconstitutional, of course, will be dismissed. Of course. And then we, of course, have the emergency. I'm making fun of myself because I hear that being stated so much. The emergency use authorization. Very important conversation as we've been leading up to. It's July 14th today. As of this very moment, you know, give or take the hours. I mean, I was actually talking about this earlier. I wish there was an actual hour timestamp. But as of tomorrow, assuming it was done the midnight of the day before, this will no longer be a valid emergency authorization, because I don't see any talks about renewing this unless it's quietly happening behind the scenes, which it might. Now, we're going to talk about all of that, hopefully in a reasonably short period of time. So stay tuned to the end. But we're going to start with a couple of important points that I want to include that have to do with the general sentiment about what these governments are, what this government is, and a lot of different things. Now, this is something I just want you to see that I just saw about Cuba. You know, a country that has been under the bullseye, under the, you know, the scope of the U.S. government, from Bolton to Pompeo to whoever the hell's leading the charge today. The point is that this has been a constant decades-long effort to regime change Cuba, to manipulate Cuba, to, you know, this is a constant. Now, that whether you even think that Cuba deserves that, whether you think their government should go, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's obvious that the U.S. government has overtly been undermining their country or their government, whatever, been sanctioning them, destroying, trying to hurt them, just like we're seeing with Iran and Syria and everything else. Those are sanctions that, by and large, hurt the people of that country, right? So now we see something happening. Now, whether you think it's valid, genuine or not, let's just say for sake of conversation, what's happening in Cuba is totally natural. It's all about freedom, and they want the U.S., weirdly enough, I don't know why that would make sense. You, U.S., come give me freedom that you steal from everybody else. But the point being that let's just say they're calling for that freedom from the U.S. government. Right. So now here's the Biden administration threatening that any refugee fleeing Cuba, this location that they have destabilized actively for decades, regardless of whether this is a natural protest or not, and saying, if you're fleeing this area, trying to reach the U.S., we're going to turn you away. We're happy to destabilize your country. We're happy to, you know, NATO and talk about how we care about your freedom. And we're going to stand. But then if you want to come here, no, go back. You're not welcome here. Now, of course, they're really primarily talking about ocean travel. The bottom line is, it's insulting to watch these people act like they care about these people and then turn them away because they're coming from a communist regime and, you know, whatever it is. This is the sentiment we're seeing. And it's not just in Cuba. This is another interesting dynamic in Afghanistan, which is a little bit different, right? So here we are saying, no, nobody from Cuba can come here. U.S. to begin evacuating Afghans. Okay, so they're willing to take Afghanis. I don't know what the difference would be. Who aided American military. Ah, okay. So now they're willing to help these ones because they did something for the American government. What about the other Afghanis who are still there and under your narrative, very much suffering? By the way, that's because of what the U.S. government has done there. But think about how ridiculous that is. So we're not going to help all the Afghani people. We're only going to help the ones who did something for us. That is a perfect microcosm of what this government is. Are you fighting for the Afghani people, or are you fighting for the people that give you something, that gain you something, that benefit you in some way? Who give you access to the lithium mountains or give you access to the opium fields? You know, what is it exactly? The bottom line is, it's not helping Afghani people. Otherwise, this would just be about helping anybody who's suffering. It's about helping the ones who gain. Now, how much you want to bet the ones who aided the American military are not the ones they're currently suffering? Think about that. Regardless, it's just a ridiculous situation we're staring at. It really is. And it's insulting to, for a lot of reasons, not to get too deep on the foreign policy, which I've gone way deep on in the past. But then take it to this, which just makes me laugh out loud. Now, again, this is not the government saying this, but this is a George Soros-funded international advocacy group that I can almost promise you is going to influence the government's direction. United States should accommodate, quote, millions of refugees who will be forced to flee, quote, effects of a changing climate. According to a study by the George Soros-funded Refugees International Advocacy Group, and you can see here's the article, Task Force Report to the President on Climate Crisis. Okay, so we're all about bringing in millions and millions of refugees based on a climate crisis that is really undefined, especially when you get into the politics of it all, not to suggest that we're not hurting this planet in 1,000 different ways. But why would that make sense? But then we're not going to help the Afghanis, who this government destroyed their country and stole from and raped and pillaged and murdered. And okay, but we'll only take the ones that helped us. Cuba, nobody. Screw that. But over here, we'll take anybody if we can use politics about it. You see what I'm getting at? It's upsetting because they're not, this is fake concern, fake passion, or excuse me, compassion. It's not real. It's using it as a means to an end. Now, here's another point, foreign policy. We saw this just yesterday. I believe it was yesterday. Yes. Iranian spies carried out elaborate surveillance scheme in plot to kidnap U.S. journalist from her home, indictment says. Well, of course, this is every wall. The mainstream journalists out there tell, my gosh, well, Iran must have done this because Iran bad guy and because they told us they did. That's great journalism, all you mainstream journalists out there. Except the reality is, when you dig in just barely into this story, you'll find out that it's words coming from governments that lie. And we love to take that at face value, especially since Whitney makes a great point below. I'll get that in a second. Here's what I said. If this relies solely on the word of the U.S. government, which it does, based simply on its recent history alone, and you could make it history, but just its recent history alone, it would be ridiculous and irresponsible to take this at face value. Just saying. But all the mainstream is happy to do that because they're not journalists. They're stenographers and propagandists. If they're doing that, like nobody knows, if nobody takes what the government tells them and blindly reports it and then goes, I'm a good journalist. They don't think that. They know what they're doing, but they may think to themselves they're doing this so they can get other things out. I still think they're pathetic. But at the end of the day, here's what Whitney had to say. And I thought this is exactly right. If it's an indictment, doesn't that mean it's just a claim and that it will only need to be proven with evidence in court if the case actually, yes, that's exactly what it means. But mainstream doesn't care because of Ron Bad Guy, right? Narrative over facts. That's exactly what's happening today. Another quick point, just something that gets under my skin that I just wanted to get in here before we move forward. Because all these are kind of points that give you the overarching perception of what these governments are, what these authorities are. This is something that has been going on for a long time. And I've talked about this more than once. This is in Tennessee. We're talking about what's called swatting here. And this is something that we all know that you'll hear on the news here. Oh, it's a rising problem. It's been a rising problem for 5-10 years. We've been hearing about this forever. So it's not really a rising problem. It's something you frame as a thing that's just coming up, even though it's been going on for a long time. Now, to those who don't know what it means, it's about SWAT, the SWAT team. Okay. What this means is anybody will call and lie and say, oh my God, this guy's here about to kill himself, or oh, he's about to murder people. And apparently, it's happened more times than I'd like to talk about. People die without any due diligence. The police get all riled up. They get 30,000 people. They bring all their trucks and SWAT teams and jackets, and they come in and they deal with it. Except they didn't care to find out if it was actually happening or not. Now this unwitting person inside of his home gets the door kicked in, thinking that he's being robbed, defends himself, and gets shot down. And then whose fault is that? Is it the person who lied about the call? Obviously. Is it the guy who was sitting in his home and protecting himself? No. Is it the cops? Yes, but they never get held accountable for it. Now, this is a little different. This is apparently, and this is even crazier, because an adolescent from the UK, from another country, calls the police here, tells them that this guy, a grandfather of 7, I believe, was about to kill somebody. So this, the police take the word of a kid from a foreign country with no due diligence, and they surround this guy's house. Now, that is the problem. Not that some dumb kid is being an idiot, because even though that's a very, very serious thing he did, kids make dumb decisions. Kids do all sorts of things. Sometimes not kids. Sometimes adults do very bad and dangerous things. People do stuff like that. Doesn't make it okay. The problem is that a child can see how to abuse the SWAT team, and yet this keeps going. This keeps circulating around. Next year is going to be another rising problem of swatting. No, the problem is the police and the way that they deal with this, the police state, the overt violence that they dole out without any due diligence. So bottom line, what happened here is they surrounded the guy's house. He came out. Lucky for him, he's in Tennessee. He came out with his guns in his hand because he didn't know what was going on. If he was anywhere else, I argue, probably California, he would have been shot down immediately in my mind. But because he's in Tennessee, which is an open carry state, he threw his gun down, put his hands up. And because of the way they handled the situation, within moments, he had a heart attack and died right there, or at least died later. Now, this is so upsetting to me because we continue to go forward with this and point at that little kid over, or the adolescent in the UK, and pretend like that's where it all came from. The problem is that the police are so forward-minded with their violence, right? If there's a hypothetical problem, what's their first solution? Violence, mass force, instead of actually finding out what's going on. It just bothers me. Now, this is exactly what the problem is in everything else, that we're not actually diagnosing the problem. We're barely treating the symptoms. And that's all they want you to look at. Now, I hope you see the larger analogy here for COVID-19, because this is a big problem. Now, in the midst of all of this stuff, with everything going on in COVID-19, there's all sorts of horrific things that are also happening. Somebody shared this with me. Dark thoughts, bright future. Apparently, there's a 17 million gallons of raw sewage were spilled into the Santa Monica Bay. Did you hear that on the news? Maybe in Santa Monica. That's a huge deal. That is like, I mean, I can't even remember the amount. I'm not trying. I don't want to even try to compare it to one of these massive oil spills, because I don't know if it's comparable. But 17 million gallons of raw sewage is just, that's a huge ecological disaster. And it's just not a big deal, apparently. Because we're so consumed with politics around COVID-19 and politics around a couple of other topics that this just gets missed. It makes me sad. 17 million gallons. Thank you for sharing this. And as he points out, I wonder if the blockage is millions of indestructible masks washing away down sewage drains. Certainly possible, but they don't seem to care about that. It's all about climate change and the danger, except we're going to use 13 masks a day and 14 pairs of gloves and act like that's not the biggest problem of the day. Hypocrites. But here's the actual article for yourself, just so you can see it. This just happened. We're 14 days into July. July 2021 sewage spill, right? Now, let me ask you this. This is what it says right here. We understand 17 million gallons of raw sewage were spilled through 1 mile outfall, which is directly offshore from the Hyperion water reclamation plant. And what it says is the bottom line was, this does not seem like something that just happens. I don't understand how you accidentally spill 17 million gallons of sewage. Certainly, maybe somebody flipped a switch and wasn't paying attention. Who knows? My point is, I think this is something that's happening, like a lot of other very, very dishonest and criminal things around this situation, because they feel like people aren't paying attention. And if we can just go, oops, sorry, we just contaminated this entire location. I argue the bigger question is whether there's even any due diligence happening here, whether people are researching this, or whether it's just people going wild, the rampant lawlessness showing its face everywhere else. Now, Denny Rancourt also points out that Health Canada, all this is happening simultaneously, is petitioning to triple the maximum residue limit for glyphosate in food to, quote, to keep up, right? So you set a level that's supposed to be the bare minimum. Like, you go above this, it's dangerous, right? Which, by the way, the glyphosate, multiple studies have shown that it builds up in your body anyway. So you already have way too much of this in your body. It is ubiquitous. I've shown you this 1,000 times over. It's in the clothes you're wearing. It's in the cotton. It's in the air. It's in your urine. Every single member of parliament in Europe took a piss test. They all had glyphosate in their urine. This is a constant story. All the organic wines were tested. Organic, meaning they shouldn't be there. In Napa Valley, every one of them had glyphosate, which means they're not organic, by the way. But who cares, right? Let's just pump this crap everywhere. Bottom line is, we already have a level that they say, well, it can't go past this level. Again, despite it building up in your body anyway. But now they're going to go, well, let's just raise the maximum residue level because we got to keep up, right? Is that how that works? So now that we're well going past it, we just bump up the number so we can go, well, now we're good. Now we're keeping up with the number. Well, is that safe? Who cares? It's all about numbers and lying, right? It says, I'm working hard on my scientific response entitled glyphosate should be banned, not increased. Increased? I mean, I can't even understand how that makes sense other than politics and not caring about your safety. It's the most used herbicide on the planet. It is toxic and dangerous. And I've shown you this many times over. Thank you, Denny, for pointing this out. And he also says something interesting to bring us into the first part of this. Do not trust science. Denny Rancourt points out, PhD. Practice valid scientific methods. Period. Actual science never asks to be trusted. Science asks you to think independently and always be willing to re-examine. That's all. I hope that should be posted on your wall. This is what a real scientist looks like. Just so hope that's clear. This is what real scientists would be telling you. Not trust what you're being told. Think for yourself. Which brings us to the most obvious point of the day. This is from IsraeliNationalNews.com. Natural infection versus vaccination. Which gives more protection? Well, gee, where have we heard this before? Where have we talked about this before? I don't know, on this show, like 13 times. For a long time. And of course, I'll briefly show you the tools and the tweet and the links to have to know the fact that this is an obvious conversation that should have been over a long time ago. But let's read into this first. Nearly 40%, the subtitle says, nearly 40% of new COVID patients were vaccinated. We just talked about this, actually, compared to just 1%. Who had been infected previously. Now, of course, what's funny is the second part of that sentence left aside. What they're all telling you, well, it's obviously the unvaccinated creating variants, of course, which doesn't make actual any sense, considering the science we already went over, the scientific research around this before COVID-19, that clearly was already talking about how flu vaccines were the ones causing variants and on and on and on, and showing you the real, I mean, I went over an entire show, which I'll point to it again. It's right here. You can look after yourself. Don't just trust what I'm saying. All the links are always included right beneath the video so you can look at it for yourself and you can read what they're saying, the scientific research, the peer-reviewed random controlled trials that say exactly what they don't want you to hear. Now, the point is they're trying to push that off on the unvaccinated, right? But if we are watching people who are unvaccinated yet had COVID from before suffer, deal with Delta, let's say, if you believe that's actually there, and they're not getting sick, by the way, which is what we're going to get into here. And the ones who got the injection are. Now, they can stand there and go, blah, 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 it would have worked if the unvaccinated had gotten this thing, which doesn't really make sense. You know, 2 days ago, I got this injection, but it would have worked if that guy across the world would have gotten it, right? That's stupid. But the point is, how do you explain how the people who are unvaccinated are still okay, even with a new variant, right? The argument would be if they have immunity to the first thing and this thing changed, well, it would be the same argument. Well, they would, their immunity wouldn't last if it's something different, except it is lasting and it is fighting this off. So that might, that creates right out of the gate the argument that this is not even actually there like they say it is. Or it's so similar, like Mike Yeadon would point out, samience, that it's not actually different or causing any more problems. Just right out of the gate, something to think about. But you'll see how they frame this. Now, again, compared to just 1% who had been previously infected, and we're talking natural immunity, someone who they claim, based on PCR tests, had this. And again, before even the PCR test, remember that there's studies that are talking about having this. The majority of uninfected individuals in this country already had antibody reactivity before this came around. I actually wasn't planning on grabbing that, but since we're bringing it up, I just always try to include whatever I even briefly mention. So we're going to let's see, where were we? Oh, here we go. Natural immunity. I have a whole bunch of categories for this stuff. Now, this one, this is the one I'm mentioning. I'll get to it in a second. Uninfected. Now, this is one of the most important ones in my mind, because this is separate. This is separate from the natural immunity discussion. This is a study that came out March 15th. Of course, the media didn't care because, you know, trust the science, right? And it tells you that the majority of uninfected adults already showed pre-existing antibody reactivity against SARS-CoV-2. So that's on top of the natural immunity. So bottom line is, based on anybody on it, they're telling you most everybody here in this country and elsewhere already has either pre-existing or better natural immunity based on their narrative. Okay, now going forward, it says coronavirus patients who recovered from the virus were far less likely to become infected during the latest wave of the pandemic than people who were vaccinated against COVID. So, of course, latest, so they're clearly leaning into the Delta part of that. So patients who recovered from the virus, natural immunity, were far less likely to become infected during the Delta wave, is what they're saying, than people who were vaccinated against COVID, according to numbers presented to the Israeli Health Ministry. Again, right out of the gate, it adds an interesting caveat to the whole discussion. If these people are not injected, have natural immunity, and have it from before Delta came around, and yet somehow are able to fight off Delta. There's no way that makes sense in their narrative. Now, health ministry data on the wave of COVID outbreaks, which began this May, show that Israelis with immunity from natural infection were far less likely to become infected again in comparison to Israelis who only had immunity via vaccination. Now, understand, that paragraph is broad, not just Delta. Very clearly, Israelis with immunity from natural infection were far less likely to become infected again in comparison to Israelis who only had immunity via vaccination. That's huge. They're never going to talk about that. They're never going to make it exactly. They're not going to be clear about what that actually tells you. It says more, and what, in case you don't see it, the point is they're telling you that people who have natural immunity are far, far, far safer in the context of what they're telling you than people who got the injection, which in my opinion is more than likely because the injection is what's causing all these problems, but that's a different discussion. Now it says more than 7,700 new cases. 7,700 new cases of the virus have been detected during the most recent wave starting in May. But just 72 of the confirmed cases were reported in people who were known to have been infected previously. 72 out of 7,700. That is less than 1% of the new cases. This is undeniable. This is not a one-off. This is not a hypothetical. It's not correlation. This is obvious. 72, less than 1% of the entire recent cases in Delta. That means they are not affected. They're safe by and large. And by the way, this is also, again, using PCR, so that 1% could just be the knockoff. But that's always the caveat. Always consider that, whether it's a good narrative, something that backs up your narrative, or something that challenges it. Always consider that the PCR test that's backing it is completely questionable. This is a big deal right there. Now, it says roughly 40% of new cases, 40% or more than 3,000, involve people who had been infected despite being vaccinated. Now, think again about all the things you keep hearing from Kamala Harris and Biden and Joe Biden and Fauci, which, by the way, is pretty much the only place I've seen that. Obviously, I haven't seen one person show me where that number came from. 99.2% of people are unvaccinated. Okay, that's a great number. Show me the data. Where's that coming from? Are you just pulling it off some random estimation of hospital data, or are you actually finding out whether these people are injected? This is the point. They're just happy to keep screaming at you that the majority of people who are sick in the hospital right now, they're unvaccinated. And you hear the audience goes, oh, what? Kamala said something? How about we prove things? right? These are the fake news out there. Oh my God, did you hear what she just said? Quickly report that, right? That's not what journalists do, right? The point is that this is not actually verifiable. And what the data shows, which is what we're staring at, is clearly it's not the case. Because right now, again, we know that the majority of this country, as even the NIH and people have pointed out, 160 million people, they estimate, have already seen this, already had the infection. It's probably, you know, that's their narrative. That's half the country, right? So if we know that the majority of uninfected people already had, the majority already had that, and then you have natural immunity with half the country, what are we talking about? You see what I mean? It's pretty obvious. And all they can keep screaming at you is that all the people in the hospital are unvaccinated. Well, that's pretty clearly not the case. That's probably why they've never shown you anything to back that up. Just like they lie about everything in foreign policy too. Iran did it. Trust us. Okay, maybe. Now it says with a total of 835,792 Israelis known to have recovered from the virus, the 72 instances of reinfection, 72, that's it. So out of 835,000, almost 836,000 people, 72 of them have been reinfected. That's Delta anything else, by the way. That amounts to 0.0086% of people who were already infected with COVID. You see, this would be a breaking news story if the media actually cared about giving you the truth. Breaking news, you're completely safe if you already had this. Nope, they don't care because it's all about injections at all costs. Almost, I mean, good God, that is a crazy amount, right? That 836,000 people and only 72 of them have been reinfected. But guess what? We just jot back up here to the top and look at these thousands of people that have been infected after having the vaccination. So what are we talking about? We're being lied to, which is very clear when you just briefly look at the information. 0.0086%. So if you're in Israel and you've already had this, you apparently have a 0.0086% of being reinfected according to the data. But get the injection that clearly has a higher risk than that of all sorts of other things. Each one of them are super rare, but they're all there and they're all higher than that. But it says, by contrast, Israelis who were vaccinated were 6.72 times more likely to get infected after the shot than after natural infection, with over 3,000 of the 5,193,499, or 0.0578% of Israelis who were vaccinated getting infected in the latest wave. This is huge. You're almost seven times more likely to get the thing they're all scared about once you get the shot they're telling you protects you. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And yet we're over here going, I don't want to get that thing at all. And half these people are saying, well, I've already had it. And they're just jamming it down people's throats. I mean, how about the children who don't need it? How about if they're not in danger? Well, we're just going to say, here, take this thing that makes you seven times more likely to get this thing. You know what this is, guys? This is what seems to me to be an obvious example of antibody-dependent enhancement. That's what this seems like to me. I can't say that for sure, but I can tell you pretty obviously that what it means, and I'll show you the study that I've been talking about since the beginning of this, that no one seems to want to talk about, that some people have discovered recently. This is from December 2020, which is when it first came out. Informed consent disclosure to vaccine trial subjects. Now, of course, the big find in here is that COVID-19 vaccines designed to elicit neutralizing antibodies, right? The ones they're pointing to, the ones they gave all those Israelis. The bottom line is this informed consent study in December 2020 was very, very clearly finding something very important that was just dismissed, completely dismissed. So just in case it went out before that, the bottom line was it's telling you that these injections are designed to do exactly what we think it's doing. Or excuse me, not designed to do, but can do. And then are clearly telling you that this is a specific risk that should have been disclosed. And it's not. So going forward, the point is natural immunity is obviously better and always has been. And all they're trying to do is force this down the throats and the arms of people that don't need it. Interesting correlation, by the way. Remember, we just talked about this, up to 40% of COVID hospital patients infected with Delta variant may have actually been admitted for completely different things, right? Oh, shocker, right? So this is just another example of how, you know, people are being, oh, my bro, I broke my ankle and let's give you a PCR test. Oh, you got Delta, right? Do they, or is it a false positive? Who cares, right? Just mark it down, make it look like we're in danger. The point is, it's interesting that it's 40%. Now, here we are looking at the example of 40% of these people who were, we were told had the Delta variant might not be at all. And on top of that, we have 40% of people with new COVID patients who were coming from people who are vaccinated. So it just gives you this obvious illusion where they are padding this information, lying to you about what's really happening. That's what's actually going on. Oh, and by the way, this was that one I tried. This is the one I showed you. You search for the exact title, doesn't come up. And then today I went back and refreshed, and oh, what do you know? It popped up at the first one. Just interesting to me. I don't know why, but it's funny to me. But going forward, here is Reuters reporting U.S. health officials say COVID-19 boosters could risk more serious side effects. Now, maybe this is a positive. Maybe they are saying, yeah, it could be bad. But I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think this is going to be the illusion of resistance, and it's going to end up doing it anyway. But that's just my pessimistic take. But so we're talking about booster shots, right? Here we are in a position where the majority of this country has immunity and pre-existing immunity. And they're saying, well, let's get booster shots anyway for all those people who got the vaccine. Right. So how about the people that got the vaccine who already had COVID before that, and they're all still having problems? You know why? You know why? That's probably a very likely thing that is happening. But you know why I think that's happening? Like, because the idea is that they had it before, they should have antibodies, right? They should have immunity. But then they got the injection. So now they got the injection and they're getting sick again. But what about that beginning immunity? What happened to that? Well, here's what I think happened to it.
And your COVID-19 vaccine, you're going to want to listen to this. The Red Cross says anyone who has received their COVID-19 vaccine cannot donate convalescent plasma to help other COVID-19 patients in hospitals. That plasma is made up of antibodies from people who have recovered from the virus, but the vaccine wipes out those antibodies, making the convalescent plasma ineffective in treating other COVID-19 patients.
Well, that's pretty clear, right? I wonder why that was missed, right? So it removes your antibodies. Interesting, right? But so what's more interesting is they don't want those natural antibodies. That's probably, in my opinion, probably damn intentional. But so it supposedly creates its own. But in the meantime, it kills the ones you already had. That's fantastic. Or so the mainstream media reported. We know how trustworthy they are, so take it with a grain of salt. But what's interesting is we're watching them continue to point out that we need to give more boosters, which in and of itself shows you that this is not lasting after the injection. But go ahead and force it down their throats, right? It says the official said the second dose for two-shot COVID-19 vaccine regimens was associated with higher rates of side effects, which we all know, suggesting a third dose could be dangerous, right? How much you want to bet these risks get tossed aside the moment that there's a political need? What he's saying is, well, if the second dose is very dangerous, which we've seen, all sorts of crazy things, way worse, what do they think the third's going to do? But it says, quote, we're keenly interested in knowing whether or not a third dose may be associated with any higher risk of adverse events, particularly some of those in more severe. Okay, so what just happened? Pfizer and them just told us they did their trial. Didn't they just do their booster trial? That's what they just said. Then they brought it to the FDA, and they said, okay, we're ready for emergency authorization. So here's the FDA going, well, we need information about whether it causes adverse events. Well, isn't that what they just said they did? Apparently not. There's a lot of dishonest stuff happening here, and I don't know why in the world people are trusting what the FDA, in collusion with your government and the CDC, are saying. If they're going, well, we need information, that very clearly shows you they didn't get information about adverse reactions. So who knows what they just claimed they did, but the point is Pfizer and partner BioNTech plan to ask U.S. regulators within weeks to authorize a booster dose of its COVID-19 vaccine based on evidence of greater risk of infection after 6 months of the injection. I wonder why they put that at the bottom of the article. Of course, so what they're literally telling you is their own data, Pfizer's own data, is telling you you are at greater risk of infection after 6 months. Cool. So make sure you remember that. So six months, apparently, Pfizer's saying it lasts, if that, if it even works at all and doesn't hurt you much, much worse. Okay. Well, here's The Lancet, you know, that group we're supposed to always listen to, according to the mainstream media, from April 9th. It's weird. I guess they must have missed this one, right? This study shows that previous infection with SARS-CoV-2 induces effective immunity to future infections in most individuals. Well, that's pretty sound. Here's another one. Nature. Now, by the way, I've gone over all these, by the way. If you want to go in there deep, the links will be in the show notes. I've done entire shows on natural immunity. This is meant to give you the quick overview of why they're completely lying to you of articles that have been here since May, April, a long time. Had COVID? Probably make antibodies for a lifetime. Why? Because they're in your bone marrow and they can churn them out for decades, or telling you right here that it will probably make antibodies for the rest of your lives. Nature, right? This is a hugely prominent, this is one of the most prominent scientific publications. Okay, so why are they lying to you, right? Why are they continuing to go, you know, not this article in specifically, but we've already shown you. We've shown you mainstream articles from huge publications going, there is no evidence of natural immunity. Yes, there is. There's a lot of very, very prominent ones. How about as prominent as the WHO? COVID-19 natural immunity. Posted on May 10th, I guess they missed that, right? Within 4 weeks following injection, 90 to 99% of individuals infected with SARS-CoV-2 developed detectable neutralizing antibodies. And remember what nature said, those might probably last you for a lifetime. And The Lancet says they induce effective immunity for future infections as well. Great. So it seems pretty clear from all angles, including the NIH, that lasting immunity is found after recovery. So why are we all being lied to? What's actually happening here? I think you can clearly see we're being deceived. Right. And so Pfizer, again, to reiterate the point, is happily telling you you're at greater risk after 6 months. So if the majority, half the country has natural immunity, why are we pretending we need this? Well, here is the conversation. Breaking journalism. This is from yesterday. Right. So all the ones I just showed you, April, May, even longer, all of it's been there. Easy to find. Delta variant makes it even more important to get COVID vaccine, even if you've already had the coronavirus. Now, of course, the studies that I probably should have included that I'm not going to try to find now that I've already talked about, there's plenty of studies that show you that the actual coronavirus, being sick with it first and then getting the injection can be dangerous, not because of antibody-dependent enhancement, but because of what it does to your body. That's not my opinion. I mean, it is, but that's based on the scientific research. Nobody cares about that. As always, Jennifer T. Greer. Just important to recognize who's deceiving you. Vaccine immunity, or just, you know, willfully ignorant or completely lost. Vaccine immunity and natural immunity for SARS-CoV-2 can differ in terms of the strength and immune response or the length. Now, you'll note that this paragraph doesn't show you which one's better or worse. They just kind of loftily say, well, one could, you know, they differ in every possible way, which I agree with, until they try to make you think it's better for the injection. Now, then it says, but it goes on to say, can differ in terms of the strength and the immune response or the length of time that the protection lasts. We just showed you that. So I agree so far. Additionally, not everyone will get the same level of immunity from infection, while immune responses to the vaccines are very consistent. That's also very deceiving. Now, yes, I guarantee the levels of immunity are varying, but let's quickly dance back over to the WHO and we'll see that variance, 90 to 99%. Woo! I'm terrified in that 90 percentile, right? Of course, they just leave that part out. But then they say, well, the vaccines are very consistent, except that's not actually true. One, we just showed you that they're telling you that these things maybe last 6 months, and that varies wildly. We've already seen the information showing you the people that get this and immediately it's pretty wild. So that, I don't know where that's coming from, but even if it was consistent, it's consistently not as good as the natural immunity, which we've already shown you. So this is just a very clear way to try to maneuver around whether she's being dishonest or doesn't even know any better, except for you to decide. It says COVID-19 vaccines are a safe and reliable path to immunity. Well, clearly not. Against both the older strains of COVID coronavirus and against emerging strains, especially the Delta variant. Incorrect. I literally just went over this. And there's so much like this coming out showing you, what about the one we just talked about? 88 people in Israel got sick after catching it from a vaccinated person who caught it from a vaccinated person. All this is Delta. Right? This is ridiculous. Meanwhile, they're showing you that the people who are actually not injected, most of them which have natural immunity based on all the data that we have, including pre-existing immunity, show you that they are faring better. They're not getting sick. In fact, what was the number we saw? 0.008%. But sure, let's pretend like it's way better and way. This is a lie. This is a flat out lie because this is what Kamala Harris and Biden are saying. And people like this that write in the mainstream, that's gospel. If they speak it, it's real. This is the current state of mainstream journalism. I've just showed you the fact that that's at the very least questionable, but it's fact. And of course, there's immunity after infection is unpredictable. Not really. Not really. Now, I mean, there's some truth to that, but to make it sound like it's far, the bottom line is natural immunity is better than injections, especially in this case. According to the NIH, according to the WHO, according to Nature, according to The Lancet, according to literally everybody, except the conversation and the government, the mainstream media, because that's where you want to get your information from. So you see where this is all going. In real time, you're still being deceived because they're pulling from narrative while the science is coming out. You know, the science they keep screaming for you to trust, even though they're ignoring it at every turn. Well, again, just so we're aware, this went up, what, maybe 0.2% over the last 4 days? Still the majority, 48.5% of the country fully vaccinated. I don't know why we even trust this, but nonetheless, they're still saying you are the majority. The majority of this country has not been injected, or at least fully injected. 12% of the world. Think about that. Understand, their mantra is the entire world, the world around. Until that point, nobody is safe. That's what they've actually said, both our government and foreign governments. 12%. So let's pretend like this is going to just end tomorrow, right? 48%. You are the majority. So the bottom line is right now, you've got half this country who are within their narrative, understand, that have immunity, which, by the way, isn't true based on what we just showed you. But just for a second, taking them at face value, these 48.5%, according to them, have immunity, right? Because the vaccines work at all. They're the best thing ever. Okay, well, on top of that, we just showed you that 160 million people have natural immunity and that the majority have pre-existing antibodies. Like, I'm just going to keep drilling this in, guys. So you realize what that means. Within their narrative, we reached herd immunity a long time ago. But you see, the full picture, the data, the information, the science, it doesn't matter. None of this is actually considered. There's obviously a bigger agenda that they're driving toward. Because there's plenty of information out there that shows you this. Plenty of scientists, plenty of PhDs, plenty of Nobel laureates that are out there, more than one, by the way, out there telling you this stuff. Well, here's an interesting spin. So after, I mean, everything else aside, right? Oh, they keep telling you that all these people are injected. 48.5. They'll lie. 62%. 70 are down. We did it. Lies. In real time, I show you every time Kamala lies, every time Biden lies about it. But what if that's actually wildly false? This is just Pennsylvania, by the way. Pennsylvania vaccination doses were overcounted. Oh yeah, oops. We overcounted by 500,000 shots. Our bad. Or they were caught. You know, you can spin that however you want. 500,000 in one state. Overcounted. Right. I think we just caught what's really going on. And I don't even think that 48.5% is accurate. This, my gut tells me that. Not, I can't prove that. Either way, you're still the majority. But here's what it says. More than 500,000 fewer coronavirus shots have been administered in Pennsylvania than the Department of Health had previously reported. The government, of course, partly because the department couldn't properly track people who got vaccinated in two different places. Yeah, sure. I'm sure that's why. Because it's not like we have, you know, computers and stuff. Yeah, I'm sure they're just marking these down in their notebooks and losing them, right? This is ridiculous. This is what I always tell you. They would always rather look incompetent than criminal. This is how dumb they think we are. That, yeah, oops, we had a hard time tracking them across our computer system. That's dumb. But it says that means the number of people reported as having started the vaccination process dropped by more than 500,000. Just like that. While the true number of people who have been vaccinated increased by only 64,000, which I don't even know why they include that. So we minus 500,000, which are all lies, but then we add 64. How about half of those might be lies? It says in addition to the tracking problem, which is what I'm sure we'll assume that's what it was, the department on Monday blamed. So look, they're going, there was tracking problems and duplicate records. That sounds like a lie to me, for inflating the number of people who have been partially vaccinated, right? Duplicate records. Incompetence instead of criminal. Always. We're bad at this. So should we keep trusting you? Yes, because we are the best and we're heroes. It's just so frustrating how obvious all of this is. But the point is, if this alone, like not even leaning into this as a lie, how about just incompetence? How about they just made a mistake? Okay. So that gives us all the ammunition we need to be like, I don't trust that for a second. I don't trust that the numbers are correct. I don't trust the PCR test. They have been caught 100 times over and they keep forcing it as the gospel. Absolute truth beyond a doubt. They're doing PCR tests. The number of people that have died from COVID are stated as fact, even though we know as a matter of fact, even according to the CDC's website, that there is a high false positive. They say 30%, which by the way is way too high. In reality, it's easily over. I mean, the higher the cycle threshold, it can go all the way up to the top. But we keep using it. 600,000 people died. We know at least for some degree that's not accurate, but they don't care. But here's the same website, by the way. just reported that this is not even accurate. And we're staring at the information that shows you that. But then they go on to report that millions of kids are at risk as Delta variant spreads across the U.S. What's interesting is the subtitle. While Israel is handing out third booster shots, so they're already doing it, as usual. As anti-corona vaccine, or as the vaccine, half of America yet to receive their first dose, which again is exactly what we keep saying, and they don't want you to hear. Israel's pointing at it and going, look at those dumb Americans. We're already jumping you full of new shots that you don't need, right? Typical back and forth. But the Delta variant, which is what it's all about. Like, we're already on Epsilon, right? So it's already happening. We're probably three variants down the line in their minds. But this is all about blaming the unvaccinated, even though that's not logical, even though they're showing that they're seemingly safer at this point. Now, remember, this article, or this show, in fact, is very important. I go over the studies previous that show you that the logic based on the scientific research, not my opinion, is that the vaccines are actually causing the situation that causes these things to mutate around the virus. Otherwise, it just basically enters your body. Your immune system can try and fight it off, which to a small degree over a long period of time can cause these things to mutate, which has always been the discussion. But these one after another, weeks after weeks after weeks kind of thing, if that's actually even happening, by and large, the scientific research before this showed quite clearly that the vaccines are what are likely causing that. They were discussing this in a flu context, but it's the same point. Here we are. Watch this. Think about it, research it for yourself. And for those out there going, oh, this is not a reputable site for information. Okay, then read the links, right? If you're choosing not to do your due diligence because somebody out there said, oh, fake news, don't look, then you're being ignorant. You're choosing to be ignorant because all these are citations to the very people we're told to listen to, right? This is coming from the people that we're so-called supposed to trust. And yet you still dismiss it because TLAF fake news. That's just dumb. I mean, that is literally willful ignorance, which we just saw online the other day. But going forward, Tennessee is doing something good. Not to say it like that as if they're doing bad. I'm just saying out of the country, Tennessee's doing something good, and it's nice to see that. Tennessee to halt vaccine outreach to teens. Now, I shouldn't say that as, you know, I don't trust any of these governments, including in Tennessee, about what they're really trying to accomplish, but this is a good thing. Amid conservative backlash is how The Guardian frames it, of course. Right? How we actually look at, even their article makes that clear to not be the case. But Tennessee halting vaccine outreach to teens. So what they're doing is they're making it allow, you're not allowed to do pop-ups at the high school anymore. You're not allowed to coerce these children. Thank God. Slow wins, but this is a good thing. Now it says to the Tennessee Department of Health will reportedly halt all vaccine outreach to teenagers amid a conservative backlash against COVID-19 vaccines for adolescents. Right. It's only about those dumb Republicans, right? How about they don't need those injections, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat. Now here's the funny thing. I keep telling you this, and that's the main point of me showing you this. This is not a partisan issue, guys. They're desperate. That's why that's in there. They're desperate to pit you against each other to make you think it's only one side or the other. It's very obvious this is a nonpartisan issue, not a bipartisan, a nonpartisan. People, wherever they are, all over this political spectrum, outside the two-party illusion, are seeing that there's something weird going on here. And they're desperate to push you back into that so they can just keep the two-party illusion going. Keep you fighting each other instead of realizing your government's the problem. Conservative backlash. Well, let's get into the actual information. So these are people pushing it on children. Politicians, whether conservative or not, are not okay with that. And that becomes because a conservative issue. Okay. The department's new guidance announced its reports and email reports by the Tennessean that will apply to vaccinations for all diseases, which is great. It's not even just COVID. You're not allowed to coerce these children to get flu shots or anything else. That's great. It should not be the government's responsibility. Or shouldn't be their right to do so. It says not just COVID-19. If the department issues any information about vaccination, staff will reportedly be required to strip the agency logo from the documents, which how much you want to bet it happens anyway. So it won't be on like an official document. They'll just jam it. It's just propaganda. But it says Tennessee is on solid footing. This is a quote. When it comes to childhood immunizations, and we'll continue to keep information and programming in place for parents. Exactly. Because parents are the ones that have the right to say, hey, son, daughter, this is something I care about or not. But it says we are simply mindful of how certain tactics could hurt that progress. It says the reporting comes a day after Tennessee's top vaccine official claimed she was fired to appease conservative lawmakers pushing back against efforts to vaccine teenagers. Okay, so I guarantee that her doing this, is my opinion, just popped into my head. anybody that loses their position like this is concerned, right? Am I going to get a job? So all if you tap into the the two-party illusion rage, you're going to win, right? And you're going to very clear, like, not even to say some of these whistleblowers aren't very, very valid, but there's a lot of these little whistleblowers that have been coming out that are leaning into a very partisan angle. And of course, it gets, oh, they get GoFundMes and it all rises up. Okay. And then it kind of pitters out and nothing really happens. So were they really whistleblowers? Really? You know, the point is, and I'm not trying to diminish what they're doing. The point is, if you lean into that partisan two-party illusion, you will get supported. And she's going to scream about how the conservative lawmakers are censoring her and you're going to get all support from that side. That's what I think is happening. But then the bigger point is, so is it okay to vaccinate people who don't have the right? We're talking not just 19, 18, we're talking 12, 13, 14. That's what we're talking about. And you'll see in a moment. And so everybody should be unhappy with that. This is a person in Congress or government that is claiming to have the right to push these on your children without your consent. And that's a conservative issue. Well, that's what they're trying to make it into. It says Dr. Michelle Fiscus, medical doc director for vaccine preventable diseases and immunization programs at the state health department, issued a scathing statement to local news. Right. So remember the Dr. Michelle Fiscus and never, ever go to her, alleging she was fired because, quote, some of our politicians have bought into the anti-vaccine misinformation. And see, again, she knows the buzzwords. How do you even know what they're using to make their decisions? You don't like that they're saying something that points out that you're doing something that's wildly against the law, international law. Right. So you just go vaccine misinformation and everyone goes, oh, we're with you. And stating she was afraid for her state. Okay, making it hyperbolic, fear-mongering, emotional. They know what they're doing, right? Quote, it was my job, important to see that, my job, to provide evidence-based education and vaccine access to that so that Tennesseans could protect themselves against COVID-19, she said. I now have been terminated for doing that. No. You see, you just told us your goal was to make sure that these children were being injected. So you weren't just providing evidence-based information so they could have access. You were coercing people to do it, even though that you shouldn't be happening. But nice sidestep there. I've been terminated for basing, you know, this is what they tried. Oh, we're going door to door just to give you pamphlets. They all said no. So what you're doing is very manipulative, coercive, and privacy invasion. But we're just bringing you information that we already have. Thank you. Right? That it's just all about framing. But here's the most important part. Fiscus said she believed that she was fired after Republicans took offense to the procedural memo that she sent to medical providers explaining the state's, quote, mature minor doctrine. We've talked about this. A legal mechanism allowing inoculation of minors over 14 without parental consent. Yeah, and it's those dumb Republicans doing it, right? No, it's because you're a criminal. Because what you're doing is passing legislation that is repugnant to the Constitution, passing legislation, in fact, that's repugnant to the international law. You are forcing this on children without the consent of their parents because you think this is right. That's a personal choice. You should be fired because you're bad at this and you have an obvious political agenda. Now, I'm not saying the Republicans don't either, but what you're doing is very alarming and dangerous. Now, of course, she alluded to the growing threat of the Delta variant. Right. That's all they can do. The threat. And even Kamala Harris, who just screamed about how everyone's unvaccinated, who's getting sick, which isn't true, again, says it's much more contagious. And we think possibly it could be more dangerous. She did exactly that. I mean, I am actually paraphrasing, but, basically she said more than one enhancer on the word and all of them were possible. Maybe kind of. They don't know if it's more dangerous. And they even say that. And yet here we are going the growing threat of the thing we don't know. Yep. Because that's the point. Forcing children, or at the very least, telling children they can do this, having experimental, unapproved medical intervention without their parents' consent is disgusting. You should be ashamed of yourself, Dr. Michelle Fiscus. Yeah, I plead with you. If you're in this area, the director for vaccine preventable diseases, I mean, of course, her job is giving vaccines. Guys, please avoid that person. But it's good to see that Tennessee is at least standing up for the people, the actual people that are at the most vulnerable, let's put it that way. Now, here's the British Medical Journal. Lately been knocking it out of the park, guys. And I do think it has predominantly to do with Peter Doshi, who is one of their editors, by the way, right here. He's one of the authors here. Department of Pharmaceutical Health Service Research, University of Maryland School of Pharmacy, Baltimore. Now, either was recently or was. I mean, probably know he's not, has lost the job because of his truth. But think of this is what he's saying on July 13, 2021. This is on the British Medical Journal. The focus, this says the COVID-19 vaccines for children. Hypothetical benefits to adults do not outweigh risks to children. The focus is turning to children. While there is wide recognition that children's risk of severe COVID-19 is low, that's not widely recognized in the mainstream media. But we all know it because it's right there on their data. But here we are. It's frustrating how this can be cited as such obvious fact, and the mainstream can bleat about things and call us conspiracy theorists, and Twitter and YouTube and everywhere else can censor all of us for saying exactly what we all know is true. The wide recognition, not really, that it's low, many believe that mass vaccination of children may not just protect children from severe COVID-19, but also prevent outward transmission, indirectly protecting vulnerable adults and helping end the pandemic. However, which is just despicable in my opinion, using children as a protective barrier to adults. However, there are multiple assumptions that need to be examined when judging calls to vaccinate children against COVID-19. It says, despite, quote, long COVID, which it's ridiculous to pretend that we can even long-term effects or years down the line. We're not even close to that. This is clearly, in my opinion, based on what we've seen, the masks and the injections causing all the stuff that's just being lumped into long COVID. Despite long COVID recently garnering increased attention, that's not by accident. Take note that the increase of mainstream discussion of long COVID, it's been there, but the dramatic increase he's pointing to correlates perfectly with the mass vaccine administration. Just coincidence, I'm sure. But it says two large studies in children show that prolonged symptoms are uncommon and overall similar or milder in children testing positive for SARS-CoV-2 compared with those symptoms from other respiratory viruses. Right. So they're not in danger. We all know this. And multiple studies have found that. Now, it says hospitalization rates are also very low and have likely been overestimated, which is a link. And we pointed out something in Newsweek, up to almost 40%. Oops. Isn't it funny how we say, oops, we overcounted by 500 million or 500,000. Oops. Oops, we overcounted by 40% on child hospitalizations. Our bad. That was Newsweek. Up to 40% over the top. Yeah. Oh, what a mistake. No, these are manipulations being found out. And it's so ridiculous. Oh, we accidentally gave 200,000 people saline shots or whatever that ridiculous number was. Come on, guys. There's obvious not. These aren't just accidents. You don't trip and accidentally do 500,000 things. That's dumb. It says, furthermore, a large proportion of children have already been infected with SARS-CoV-2. Exactly. Even within their narrative. If the majority of children have already been infected, that means the majority of them already have antibodies and immunity that lasts the rest of their lives. And yet we're still trying to force it. So now most of the children have lasting immunity for the rest of their lives. That's according to the CDC. Well, I mean, the first part anyway, the majority, large proportion have been already infected, which means according to all the science that they have lasting immunity for the rest of their lives. Then we realize they're not at risk anyway. And it just compounds to clearly show you that what we're doing here has nothing to do with their safety. But it says the CDC estimates 42% of U.S. children aged 5 to 17 have already been infected by March 2021. Given that SARS-CoV-2 infection induces a robust immune response, well, wait a minute. Gosh darn it. That's frustrating. That's the study I was pointing to right there, by the way. I didn't mean to click it. I think that was the majority of what I was going to point out. Oh, here we are. It's funny. So here is the British Medical Journal, one of their editors pointing to this Nature study showing you, yep, clearly, very clearly, that induces a robust immune response in the majority of individuals. And yet somehow the mainstream can't figure that out. Somehow these massive New York Times and Washington, there's no evidence. And these are people that literally their entire job is to write on science, to write on medical stuff. And all they can do is go, there's no evidence because Fauci said. That's the point, guys. They're not actually looking for this stuff. Here it is, as plain as day. It says the implication is that the risks of COVID-19 poses to pediatric population may be even lower than generally appreciated. Right. They're not at risk. And everything we're doing is putting them at risk. In the clinical trial underlying the authorization of the Pfizer injection, close to 100,000 children. Oh, let's see, where was it? There was only a couple parts in here. I hate when I do that. If one assumes protection against SARS-CoV-2, given the virulence of children, extremely high number. Gosh, I hate when that happens. Oh, well. I don't want to kind of skim through here. The bottom line is it's very clearly showing you pretty much everything we're talking about. And this again is the edit. This is, you know, somebody who you should be at least considering their opinion, especially because they're an editor or were part of one of the largest scientific publications that they're telling you should be trusting. Anyway, moving forward, hypothetical benefits. They're telling you that we should not be giving kids this because that's not in their best interest. Here's a nurse in Texas. As a nurse in a medium-sized town, I'm seeing so many adverse reactions in the patients that have had the jab. In the past 2 weeks, have seen patients with Synecdoche, Bell's palsy, vision issues, strokes, COVID positive, TIAs, I'm not sure what TIAs is, heart issues, none of it being reported. All right? This is the main point here, is that this is the reality. It's not good. For a lot of people, it's actually damaging, especially since we can see the antibody-dependent enhancement risk and all the other things we're talking about. So this nurse is telling you, this is why we shouldn't be giving it to these people, especially children, because it's hurting people. And all she sees is lots of these problems and nobody reporting it. Now, that's one location. Take it for what you will. Here's another one, another medical doctor. My call partner had a team with chest pain 2 days after the second vaccine, sent to the ER, diagnosed with pleurisy. You know what pleurisy is? Inflammation of the pleurae, which impairs their lubrication function and causes pain when breathing. Sound familiar? It is caused by pneumonia and other diseases of the chest and abdomen. So who knows? Maybe this was the injection causing some kind of weird infection, or maybe it was the mask he's been wearing because he got the injection. Who knows? Bottom line is, this is happening in such a high degree and nobody's reporting the vast majority. And all they can do is pretend that mask that hasn't been proven. A majority of uninfected adults show pre-existing antibodies before this ever got here. No, who cares, right? We'll just pretend it's not there and force this down everyone's throats, because that's what's happening. That's why they're going door to door. That's what's happening. They're just trying to force this down your throat, despite the fact that you all don't need it. None of you. As I said the other day, this is just where to trigger that conversation. This was the Politico article reporting that Biden's government, your U.S. government, is planning to censor your private text communications if they deem them to be misinformation. This is not a joke. This is literally what's happening. Here's the article itself. But the main point of the article I made the other day was that they're literally telling you those who are knocking on your door and they are not delivering vaccines, because the whole point was they're saying that's fake news and all the Fox News people are lying to scare you. Read it for yourself. I went over this the other day. That's what they're trying to argue, except it is real. So the same day they're saying that, this is in North Carolina, where they're actually reporting on the mainstream media that they're going door to door to deliver these injections. Now, what's funny is Spiro shared this, and I saw it right before I went live. So I pulled it over and I got like two emails that said, that's not real. You made that up. I just don't even understand how people can just, I mean, anyway, here's the video. I'm sure they're not going to come back and go, oh, my bad, Brian. They go, oh, you're fake news anyway. Whoa. So they are. But let's take a peek at this, because this is, I want people to understand how real this is and how alarming it is that this is real time. They are going to your doors and trying to force you in on your doorstep to take something that shouldn't even be given in that location. It's something that they don't have all the as I've showed you many times. The FDA in their documents about this injection say it's mandatory that you have a lot of things that they're not doing. By the way, the most important one in this context is to have all the proper medical equipment on hand for any possible side effect that we've seen. Do they have something for myocarditis? Do they have something for anaphylactic shock, and not just an EpiPen, because that's not what we're talking about here, guys. Do they have something for Bell's palsy? Do they have something for any sort of other instant? We've seen people that have strokes immediately, people that have that seizures right after they have this. What are they going to do? Pull something out of their bag, right? This is ridiculous. And this video is called Eliminating Excuses, right? Because again, no was never an option for you. They're just going to come back around and be like, are you ready now? No is not an answer, guys.
Department trying to ramp up COVID vaccinations. Health leaders kicking off a new initiative today. It's called Doses to Doors Program. And it makes getting a vaccine virtually effortless. Community outreach groups have been canvassing specific neighborhoods for a few months now.
Of course, you know, the point being that it's just because you're lazy, America. We know you're fat and dumb, so we're just going to come to your door because I know you don't want to get up. Right? Like, don't miss the insinuation there. Like, that's all they want it to be. You just don't want to get up. We get it. We'll come to your door. That's not what's happening. 41.5% of this country does not resist all of the incredible coercion and manipulation and bribery this far if they wanted this and just want, I mean, come on. If $1 million, free beer, free waffles, free Krispy Kreme, if that's not enough to get somebody out of their house, then they don't want this thing, guys. But of course, it's just because you're lazy.
Educating and encouraging people to get the shot.
Right, educating and encouraging. And then they go, here it is right here. You want me to stick it in your arm? Yeah, that's what's happening.
It got a lot easier. Health department workers were giving the shot on the spot. WCNC Charlotte's Chloe Leshner is live in West Charlotte. Chloe, does this canvassing work?
Fred, the county thinks it does, which is why they are expanding this program. Action NC has knocked on 35,000 doors since May, and up until today, their only goal was to listen and dispel false information. But a lot of times, they are able to encourage people to get vaccinated. So now they can guarantee that it gets done.
So, I mean, look, I mean, even just taking it from a gentle point, like, so are they there to spread information or are they there to encourage you? Another word for that is pressure you. Right? Well, obviously, we know the answer to that. They are going there to pressure you to do the thing that they know you already said no to. Don't forget, they told you, we're going to knock on your unvaccinated doors. They know you already turned it down. This isn't people that just haven't gotten it. They know that there are people that chose not to. It's all, they told you openly from HHS, from all their locations. It's our job to know whether or not you've gotten this. That they told you that, which used to be a huge conspiracy theory, right? Suddenly it is real, but we're all still fake news. It's interesting. They're going to your door to try to coerce you to do the thing they know you already said no to. That's not normal, guys. This is alarming in so many ways. And that's why the majority of this country is being resistant, because it's scary, even to people that trust the system.
We reminded folks about the COVID-19 vaccination. So you need to get yours too then, right?
It's public health at work, community outreach groups going door to door.
Have you had yours yet?
To have personal conversations about the COVID vaccine.
And like somebody says in the chat, you know, dispel false info. Exactly. Obviously not. Like if they're going around saying it's totally safe and effective and it completely works, and you'll be protected for the rest of your life, which is what they're saying. That is what they're saying. If you look at any of these little things they're handing out or any little papers stuck on the door at the hospital, we've shown you all these people have sent me. They completely cite that it's safe and effective. It's been studied more than anything ever in history, which is ridiculous, which I'll show you in a minute. And that it completely works 100%. You're totally safe and stops infection. You're good forever. That's what it says. It's dumb, hyperbolic, and complete medical misinformation. We just showed you the scientific research that shows you that. But exactly. They're just going around trying to lie to you to get you to do what they want.
Get people that will say, yes, I'll get the shot. But the follow-up has always been the issue. Will they go? You know, how can we get people to go out and go?
Now the health department is close by so they can offer the shots on demand.
Now that the health department is actually coming out with us, we missed that middle step now. So now would you like to get a shot? Yes. We've got somebody right here on site.
In the first few hours of the new Doses to Doors program, four people in this West Charlotte neighborhood decided to get the shot right on their front porch.
That eliminates any excuse. You don't have to drive anywhere and sit in line. You don't have to have a vehicle. You don't need to Uber. They are right here.
You see, you can hear the anger in her voice, by the way. No excuses. You have no excuses anymore. What about just you having free choice? You see, all they want to frame this as is smart people who've done it and other lazy ones that haven't gotten around to it. And then all those crazy maniacs that don't understand science. That's it. It's just as dumb as the beginning when it was either everybody or anti-science fake news. Right now that there's just this waterfall of scientists, by the way, far more reputable scientists and doctors that are on the side of telling you that you should have a choice than anywhere else. But now they can't be like, oh, they're all anti-science, because that just looks increasingly stupid, despite the fact that they keep kind of trying to do that. Well, now they've just created a new category. Now it's just the lazy ones that don't understand what's happening. Right? No excuse now. You can't just sit on your couch, you fat loser. Right? That's how I'm kind of trying to make funny. But the point is that that's what it seems like. It's not about the fact that you have choice, that you've looked, done your due diligence, that you, whatever. You're too lazy.
The county primarily focused on neighborhoods with lower vaccination rates and communities that are hesitant, but have also been disproportionately impacted by COVID.
Right. They're talking about Black people, just so we're clear, which I don't know why they're afraid to say that, which is so funny to me. But what they're saying here is that they're going to the neighborhoods that have the most unvaccinated. How do they know that? Right? Because they're monitoring all of it. Now, whether that means they're monitoring only the people that get injected and then just doing the math or whatever, they're monitoring all of this. Now, by the way, they just told you again, like we just mentioned, that they're going to plan to censor your text messages. And realize that's already been happening. I've already seen this happen on platforms or people's comments. I just saw something about Proton where somebody was trying to send an email on Proton. They said your account has been, this email won't be sent because of fraud or mis. It's all over the place. I personally have watched phone calls to people that are in the other room not work repeatedly. Now, whether it's because people aren't connecting or whatever, there's a lot of this happening right now. Text messages not being sent. You're wondering if this is happening because of what they're already been doing. Now, whether that's the case or just hypothetical, the point is that we have to know they're already and already have been long before COVID looking at what you're saying to people. I don't know why we would pretend that's not happening, especially since they just told you, well, now we're going to censor things. So we jumped that step and we're going to pretend they didn't know what you're saying before, but now somehow they know and they're going to censor it. Right. They've been watching.
The majority of the crew is African American or Latinx because it's hard for
Latinx. Come on, damn it. That is so stupid.
People to find commonality on as a subject if they don't see themselves in it.
An important note, they're really not being forceful at all. The health department worker only comes.
I just love that. Despite showing up unannounced on your door with medical interventions and trying to tell you you need it and why it's bad that you haven't gotten it and then just continually but not in an aggressive way at all. Everything this is aggressive. The very sentiment, the very stance, the very presence on your door is aggressive. So it's just dumb that they're trying to frame it. But you know why they have to say this? Because they know it is. They're trying to counteract the perception and they're trying to make it seem all light and friendly and happy because that's what they know. They'll soften the blow for the people that are already suspicious, even though they're already on their side politically, because there's a lot of them.
Comes up if the person says that they want the shot. And we did see a handful of people today say they still weren't interested. So those volunteers really just working to understand why that is. But
right. Okay. So right there. So you say no, and they keep talking to you. Exactly my point. So not aggressive at all. No, thank you. Okay, why not? What's wrong? What don't you understand? No, thank you. Can you explain why? Yeah, that's not aggressive at all, right? That's just crazy.
Coming up at 6, we will hear from somebody who did get vaccinated here today. For now, live in...
This is just crazy. Crazy. Great. So hopefully that person that said that was fake news can now realize that they were wrong. Now, moving over into what's currently being studied, let's reasonably quickly wrap this up. So, Daily Mail. This is so frustrating to me because of exactly everything we just talked about and the fact that they're trying to make this out to be, I mean, the joke of it's of the absurd joke of claiming that this is one of the most tested vaccines in the history of vaccines, which is, I can't even believe people are allowed to say that. Like, we all know that's not true. 2 months of, I mean, that's just because they've been trying to make and failing to make mRNA vaccines for 10 years does not mean that the safety trials can be over in less than 2 months. That's crazy. They all know that though. And that's why all the doctors are starting to write these letters and say, I'm embarrassed for these people that have just gone along to get along, that don't actually care about the fact that they know this isn't right. But Moderna is launching clinical trials as of yesterday to find out, right, whether or not the COVID-19 injection that it's already being given to pregnant women, already being given to children, are being given to all sorts of people to find out whether or not it leads to miscarriages, stillbirths in pregnant women, or birth defects in newborns that are also getting it, right? We already showed you the study of the two. It's crazy. So they're testing now while it's being given to pregnant, by the way, being told by the CDC that it's okay to get it, whether or not it's going to kill your baby, cause a miscarriage, cause a stillbirth, birth defects. This makes me sick. I mean, it literally makes my skin crawl that we're watching them study this while they're telling you it's okay to give to people that they don't know if it's going to hurt. All they can say is, well, because we know COVID-19 is so dangerous, we don't know that. And the data is clearly showing you that's not even the case. Also showing you that if this person lives on this planet, they probably have natural immunity already, let alone in this country, where we have pre-existing majority uninfected antibodies. You know, it's just alarming that we're pretending this is acceptable. It's not the only one, by the way. We already showed you this. This is another one from July 8th. They're studying whether the menstrual changes are happening. Yes, we already know this is happening. You know why? Because we saw it in the research before this ever came out that we've already shown you. Here is the study from Pfizer showing you the building up in the ovaries. 12.3, this is the lipid nanoparticles, right? which, by the way, we already told you, the nanoparticles can build up, but this also has the instructions for the spike protein and on, as well as the mRNA. Guys, this is obvious stuff. It's right there. The media just ignored it. This is directly from Pfizer. How about the other one we showed you? That's from Europa.eu, from Europe. This one's on Moderna, which clearly found, just to wrap this up quickly, that the female mice had a almost 10% decrease in fertility. But because that was below 70 or above 75%, well, we don't have to report that. Remains within the test facility's historical control range. Don't you think women would want to know that control rats or that female rats had a 10% decrease in fertility after the injection? Don't you think that's a valid point to share? Yes, it is. Or the fact that the people, the offspring of the rats we're talking about had increased a number of fetuses. They had skeletal variations, extra ribs, wavy ribs, absence of ribs. This is skeletal problems. These are very important things to find that people. So why they're studying whether or not these things are happening, stillbirths, birth defects, because it's happening, because they found it in the study before they gave it to people. And now they're following up after the fact so it can look like they did the due diligence. This is why you remove immunity. This is why you give these companies indemnity, because there's something more going on here. What happens to all the children that get hurt, all the women that lose their babies, which you've already seen? We've seen nurses being forced to be injected. Repellent saying, I have a friend who just got this, who works beside me, who just lost her baby. And I'm being forced to take this thing and nobody cares. We've gone over all this before. And as I said, oh, good. Maybe next time we can squeeze this very important safety test into the world-renowned longest and bestest safety trial of all time ever that we keep getting forcefully told took place before this rushed injection push. Just a thought, right? Maybe do these things during that longest testing ever, right? Like, it's either the best, most encompassing safety trial of all time, or it's not. And you skipped things. You can't have it both ways. If you're now doing this thing, that means you didn't do it properly before. But you'll hear that from all the media and all the pundits and all the independent ones out there, that all they do is toe the line because they want to be mainstream media to say, no, 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 this was the most tested all time because Fauci said, because blah, blah, blah. This is what they're doing. It's obvious based on the way they set these out, the way they conducted them, and the way you can look back on it now. Months is not the longest ever. You don't add 10 years of failed research before it. I mean, you can call it failed is not a fair word, but fake research that led to dramatically high severe events. So they had to stop the vaccine production over and over and over. And then a new thing where you do something different to it with lipid nanoparticles. And then you just don't test it properly and say, that's enough. We failed a long time ago for 10 years. Yeah, that's what people are actually saying. All these pregnant women taking the shot right now have every reason to sue because of the way that they were lied to. And here's another point. Another clinical trial. Israel starts administering third dose of Pfizer vaccine to at-risk adults. It says this is a clinical trial in immunocompromised people. They're not doing it because they have the data. There have never been a 3 shots in 6 months vaccine regimen ever. Think about that. Israel is the test site for Pfizer, but they've already admitted that. They called it the world's lab. Pfizer did. Just making sure everyone knows that. Thank you, Eileen, for pointing this out. In the most vaccinated country in the world, the first to get the vaccine to most of its adult citizens, Pfizer tells the U.S. government why it wants to sell us the U.S. the third dose. Data from Israel shows a rise in infections among the vaccinated population. Exactly what we just pointed out. But all they can tell you is it's all your fault, without any actual data to back that up. She said, I misspoke. They gave newborn babies multiple doses every 6 to 8 weeks because they do not have a developed immune system and can't make antibodies. That's another kind of madness. Too much. That's just sickening to me. I didn't even hear about that. But I don't know. I'm going to have to follow up on that. But this should upset you. And more of this has been happening the entire time. Now, bringing this over to the second to last point, this is a really big deal. And it's just one more point that's not going to be discussed. Spain's top court rules that pandemic lockdowns are unconstitutional. That's, I think, the third or fourth country that has ruled that way, or maybe second or third. I forget. But there's been a couple of them that have ruled because it is. In no stretch of the imagination do you have the right to just suspend people's rights, because it literally says there, and we're in the U.S. talking points here, it literally says they're inalienable. Shall not be infringed doesn't mean up unless there's a pandemic. But we all know this. These people violated their oath to the Constitution. That's actually treasonous when you think about it. But Spain's court is saying, we know it's unconstitutional. But you know what? Doesn't mean it's not going to keep happening in Spain. We'll see what happens. But it's a huge deal. Now, the media is not going to tell you this because that goes against the narrative, right? But as I said, well, I guess that whole justice system in Spain is just a bunch of anti-science fake news conspiracy theorists. You see how dumb that sounds? Time to wake up, closet authoritarians. You were wrong. You can't keep saying that everybody who disagrees is all like anti-science conspiracy theorists, the entire court of Spain. It's dumb. It's really stupid and ignorant and it's reductive. Let's put it, it's a better way to put it. It's reductive. And they know that. And that makes it easier to sell your false narrative with a easily reductive. It makes it easier for people that don't want to think to just gobble it up. They're considering the evidence. And as a collective of a court are ruling that it's unconstitutional, but let's just dismiss that because they said here that it's safe and we know safe and effective. Now, you know what? I don't think I was even going to get into this, but I'll just kind of point this out really quickly. All this is going to continue. That's one of the main points here. The lockdowns, regardless of what they rule, they're already telling you that the climate discussion is where this is going. They're already telling you this is going to be the future. Regardless of what they're ruling, regardless of how serious this, you know, the downside, the obvious problems of doing these lockdowns that are catastrophically damaging, far more. Again, as we told you from the very beginning, the solution being worse than the problem. But here's Fauci telling you, three-year-old children who we just proved to you weren't at risk based on their data, their own data, based on the fact that they have likely natural immunity, based on the fact that there's 100 of the reasons that they're just not at risk, based on the fact that the British Medical Journal itself is telling you that these things are not, that the children are not at risk. Why can't I find that? There it is. Right? This July 13th, screaming at people that this is not what should be happening. Right? This is about the vaccine, obviously. But either way, if they're not at risk, which is what this is telling you, they also don't need the mask because the mask is hurting them, as the science has shown, as we just told you. Up to at the minimum of three times above the carbon dioxide rate, according to this huge study of 25,000 kids, according to the German Environmental Office. Three times. The highest kid, who was 7 years old, had 25,000 parts per million they tested. 2,000 is unacceptable, they say. This is a huge random controlled trial that just happened, peer-reviewed, huge. And no one's talking about it, but Fauci says, make the three-year-olds wear masks because.
You know that children under the age of 12 who are not eligible for the vaccines generally do not get sick, don't get COVID, or don't get as ill with it. But what does this spread of the Delta variant mean for them, for the children under the age of 12? And what's the timeline for when they might become eligible?
So you literally just jumped right from saying they don't need this to when can they get it? She's not reading right off a prompter, is she?
Well, a couple of questions, and the answers are the children who are not able to get vaccinated because of their age should follow, their parents should follow with them, the guidelines of the CDC, that unvaccinated children of a certain age greater than 2 years old should be wearing masks. No doubt about that. That's the way to protect them from getting infected, because if they do, they can then spread the infection someone else.
Okay, that's actually not true based on the scientific research, but how about the fact that you literally just said, we're going to use these vulnerable children as a barrier to protect people like you, Fauci, right? You're more concerned. Of course, the narrative is we're trying to save the population from a deadly pandemic that's not actually happening. The data makes that clear. Not my data, not my opinion. The posted data directly on the CDC website makes it abundantly clear that we're not in a pandemic. I don't know why that's difficult for people to wrap their mind around. Their data shows you this is an issue, if you even believe that's what's really happening. It's their data, question it. But their data shows you that it's predominantly elderly comorbidities. And the average age of people who die with this is older than the average age of death for the average person. It's so ridiculously obvious that, as we showed you from before, the metrics right now, and even at the peak of this, looking back at the US government's own five-color table about pandemics, put it at level one. At the peak. So how can we be a level one, level two based on what their assessment is of pandemics? And today we're screaming it's the worst thing ever. You're being lied to. That's the point. So you're going to force these children to do this, even though they're not at risk. And the point is that what he just said
vaccinated children of a certain age greater than 2 years old should be wearing masks. No doubt about that. That's the way to protect them from getting infected, because if they do, they can then spread the infection to someone else.
Well, let's just quickly include this. This was There it is. Another British Medical Journal post. But this is the biggest one. But remember, there's multiple studies like this. And they all come to the same conclusion. Like, this one was the most important. This is 10 million residents. All they found out of 10 million people were 300 asymptomatic cases. And of those 300, none of them were infectious. Most likely because, even as Fauci said in the beginning before he changed the narrative, was that these things are never spread by – it's the symptoms which spread respiratory diseases. So even if you want to argue they're asymptomatic, it's common knowledge that it's not going to – this is a fear-mongering, zero-threat assessment. Like, you're never going to remove threat. Of course it's still there. Is it actually dangerous in the context of what we were living in before? Obviously not, if none of them are actually infectious. And this is of 10 million people. But he doesn't care.
So the CDC guidelines for unvaccinated people, including children, are not changed at all. We are currently doing, we being the federal government.
Oh, and don't forget that the masks actually have no statistically significant effect against transmission, as all of the science has found in regard to the peer-reviewed random controlled science, the meta-analysis of the CDC in May 2020, and on and on and on. But let's listen to the model they did in the middle of all this.
Government together in collaboration with the pharmaceutical companies, age de-escalation studies, namely looking at...
Great. So the pharmaceutical companies were doing the studies on whether or not they're safe. Great. You mean the companies that have been caught lying and up to $4 billion in fines for literally lying about safety trials? Exactly.
At the safety and the immunogenicity of vaccines in children from 12 to 9 years old, then from 9 to 6, then from 6 to 2 years old, and then ultimately from 6 months to 2 years old. Those data will likely be available by the end of the year, and then it will be up to the FDA to decide when they will make a recommendation that, in fact, this could be done in the sense of vaccinating children of that age.
Right. So we know the data says they don't need it. They know that. It's very clear. All they can do is, well, the Delta might change that. Oh, did you prove it does? Can you prove they're more at risk? Nope. Okay, well, then don't say it. We don't know is the answer. All they're going to keep doing is saying they're at risk, they're at risk. Well, they're not, though, based on your information. And all you just told us was you're already injecting these kids in trials, which is disgusting to me. So their parents are disgusting. They're using from 6 months old to 12, and they're testing on them right now so they can then argue that it's safe for people who don't need it, because that totally makes sense. Well, just on top of that, we have the nurses are specifically a group of nurses in one location urging the CDC. I love how they frame it. Nurses everywhere, the heroes, except they're not all, because half of them are, 60% of them turned down your dangerous injection, urge the CDC to reinstate universal masking to reduce the spread. But the science clearly shows they don't have a statistically significant effect on reducing the spread. But who cares, though? Fauci said, just do it anyway. Just jam it down everybody's throats, because that's always been the case. Right. The doctors have always told you from before this, that they've never used these things as a transmission reducer. It's about stopping droplets from flying in people's open wounds. That's what it's always been about. But all they're going to ask you, they're screaming about putting this back in place, because I honestly believe that the mask is a huge part of keeping this illusion going, both psychologically and actually creating illness, leading to pneumonia, leading to oral thrush, leading to bacterial pneumonia, bacterial pneumonia, leading to periodontal disease, all sorts of things, lots of different infections, you know, maybe the mysterious one they're passing off as other things. Now, the last part. Oh, actually, that's what it was going to be. I forgot. Well, just to point out the last couple, let me see if I was even going to go over these. Oh, that's right. Okay. Before I get into the emergency use authorization, this is where this is all going. This is the great reset direction, in my opinion, right? So we know this is an illusion. We know that they're going to force these lockdowns and the masks back on you for some other reason, because that's how it keeps you in the guise that this is necessary. Whether mask for climate change and pollution or mask because of COVID-19, it all leads in the same direction, which I don't know why that makes people can't see how dumb and obvious that is. But now Gavin Newsom signs a $100 billion comeback plan to come back from what? Oh, that's right. The destruction they waged on the economy and your life. So you're paying to come back after they stole from you. So you're paying twice. Perfect. Right? So they're going to tax you to build back better what they destroyed. That wasn't the plan at all, though, right? They won't build back better. Just a coincidence, though. Includes more direct payments to taxpayers. Good. We'll give you a couple hundred bucks to shut up and we'll keep building the world we want to build around you. This should bother you. $100 billion, this person should be in jail. There's no, after we've already spent $6 trillion there, $5 trillion there, $2 trillion there, a couple more billion there, all for the stimulus and relief that went to big companies and not you, they're going to just do it again. But this time locally, which will probably again go to big companies and not you and the government and his pockets. And they're going to rebuild your 5G prison. And of course, your technocratic digital gulag, which of course people that don't, you know, we're going to, oh, fake news, 5G prison. Well, they're obviously fitting out 5G around these entire areas, these smart cities. So if you feel like that doesn't describe what it's just so funny how people have already cued in on what they've decided are fake news talking points and will just dismiss stuff. But it's very clear where this is going. And somebody just shared this with me. This is from, translated from Dutch. Somebody in this area, then one of our supporters from Discord shared this. And I find this to be very, very revealing. Now this, let me actually do this real quick. I forget what it said, so we can see who he is a member of parliament on behalf of the Forum for Democracy. This is in, well, I want to say Dutch. It's not Dutch isn't the right word. I'm forgetting the location. Anyway, I don't want to say it wrong. Anyway, this is about a local leader who on the spot said, I don't know what the Great Reset is. I've never even heard of the Great Reset, which sounds exactly like Biden and the rest of them stupidly lying, even though we know that they all know what it is and they're all using. And Biden even uses the Great Reset tagline for his election campaign. And we go, that's just a coincidence. It's just so ridiculous to me. But as he says, here is the thank you letter. Actually, wait, this was the. Okay, so yeah, just so this is the thank you letter that. Right. I feel like I had a tweet that I lost there. So, but the point is he was asked and he just not denied it. And it says, here is the thank you letter that they sent to Schwab to this person questions about the documents hidden in the file, other documents they found this and presented it. Now, what it says basically is thank you for sending me the book about the Great Reset. It's COVID-19: the Great Reset, which is just so on the nose. Hey, perfect. COVID-19. Let's do the Great Reset, but it's not about COVID-19 and it wasn't planned at all. Right. It's just so stupid. But the bottom line is he was well aware, right? Prime Minister of the Netherlands. There you go. Hey, thanks for that great book that I pretend I don't know about. Right. And here it goes. Oh, here's the next tweet. It says, oh, they tag in this down here. Says, just saw it. First, he says he doesn't know it. Then he reads from the letter from Schwab to him. He thanks him for the same book. Like the point, guys, and this is the person actually speaking about it. You can in Netherlands, you can watch it for yourself. It says the obviousness with which Rutte, I believe, lies it is a fascinating as it is dangerous. Asks him for his opinion on the controversial globalist manifesto called COVID-19, the Great Reset. He pretends he hasn't read it. Oh, you know what? Yeah, see, this should have been the first one I showed, even though it's in another language. So he gets up and goes, I don't know what you're talking about. I have never seen that before. And then very clearly gets caught. But you know what? The media won't do report it. They won't care because they're part of this too. Clearly, if they're not reporting stuff like this. So they're all included. I mean, Schwab is reaching out to people all over the world, leaders all over the world. Here's what you should be doing. And if they then openly in front of their own parliament go, I don't know what that is. I've never heard of it. What does that tell you? Do you think he just forgot about this global of effort that everybody's involved in that he's probably gotten 1,000 calls about from other governments and from Schwab up until this point? No, it shows you very obviously that he wants to pretend like he doesn't know what it means. So that either tells me that he was told to deny it or that he's afraid of what it means to be associated with it. Think for yourself. There's no way that just adds up to he forgot about this very big thing that the entire world is involved in. Come on. We know this. Finally, the emergency use authorization, last part here. I want to start with an interesting part about the emergency authorization. The opioid emergency that probably you aren't even aware of is completely still happening. Now, I want to make a point about this before we finish with the emergency authorization. Here is Reuters as of 3 hours ago. No, it's probably, this is today, I think. Let me refresh it. From earlier today, so just hours ago, a different kind of crisis. Overdose deaths spike during the pandemic. Oh, shocking, right? You lock everybody in their homes and tell them they can't do anything, and they're, what do you think is going to happen? The point is, this was already a problem. We knew this. And all they can do is, oh, there's a national emergency for the overdose, which Trump did, people keep doing. And what's it done? Absolutely nothing. It's worse than it's ever been. Okay, so let's use that frame of reference for the ongoing state of emergency for COVID-19. The argument is the state of emergency gives you unparalleled powers to do something about, okay, what about the overdose issue? Did we use that emergency to stop the problem? No, we used that emergency to divvy up funds under the guise of stopping that emergency, and all it's done is got much worse. Sounds like everything else we talk about. Sounds like GMOs overseas in India. Sounds like vaccines in India. Sounds like all the things they tell you we're going to save the world that actually make things much worse. Now, is it because they're bad at their job, failing, or is it because there's something much more devious going on? It's always up to you to decide. But here is the public health emergency declarations page, which has all of them listed, all the way down to either August 31st, 2005, when it first started, or just the first time I started reporting it. I don't know. Point is, the interesting thing is to make a couple points here. First of all, we've already been in a situation like this. Here is the 2009 H1N1, or otherwise known as the fake pandemic, which even the CDC, or excuse me, even the HHS stated in their own documents, this is a fake pandemic. It didn't actually exist the way they said it did. Both British Medical Journal and HHS have called it out. I've shown you both those, calling it a fake pandemic, an epidemic of fear. Both of them called it this. So just so we're clear, H1N1 was not an emergency, but nonetheless, it went on for quite a while. April 26th, June 24th, October 1st, 90 days after 90 days after 90, you know, we're renewing the emergency, despite the fact that it wasn't actually there. That's a relevant point, isn't it? Okay, and all it did was continue the illusion. It got a lot of shots in people's arms. It hurt a lot of people because it caused a lot of negative side effects that we only later found out about. Same thing back on 1976, by the way, swine flu, same conversation. Nobody cares. We just keep getting lied to and we pretend it's only then. But they keep doing it. Right? So that tapered off. They also did it in the Zika virus. Remember that big not pandemic that turned out to be a not pandemic? Same thing. Oh my gosh, a national emergency in Puerto Rico. Oh my gosh, in national. Did we get Zika? Was there a national outbreak? No, there wasn't. But yet we had a national state of emergency from November 4th to April 28th. Or really 90 days after the 28th. Isn't that interesting? Almost a year. We go on with a state of emergency about something that was not even close to an emergency. Isn't that relevant? You know why though? Because a lot of moves were made right then. They opened up a lot of weird things. The bigger point here. Let me see if I can find this. Oops, that's not the right one. I didn't highlight this before. I was going to. This is the document where we talk about. Nope, it's not working either. Well, the point was in this document, they go into the discussion of what they can do. Yeah, I don't want to find it. It'll take too long. But I showed you on the previous show. I feel like that's got to be in there. Dang it. Oh, well, see, I can't stop. I want to keep my, the point is going back to this is that they, when they do these national emergencies, it opens up a lot of possibilities for them. The HHS can spend money and send money all over the place with pretty much little oversight. And then also it gives them the ability to arrest people, to conduct research, to conduct advanced, there it was, hold on. Advanced. There we go. Hey, there it is. Okay. I was trying to remember what word it was that would pick it out. So one of the most important parts in this to make is that, so in general, this is talking about what it gives them, the powers. And it says the funds established under the paragraph. So basically the funds it gives them from your pocket to just kind of spend under the guise of fighting this or dealing with this. One of the big ones, ignoring for the minute the fact they can arrest and conduct investigations, which is crazy. Facilitate and accelerate as applicable, advanced research and development of security countermeasures, qualified countermeasures, or qualified pandemic or epidemic products as defined. So advanced research. So we're talking about, I don't know, things like nanotechnology, mRNA vaccines, right? So they're just going to open the floodgates. Why do you think there's a like 14 different mRNA vaccines being openly driven at right now? Why do you think this new technology nanoparticle direction is blowing up, even though it's completely unverified and we're still watching it be used and there's side effects? Because they've opened the floodgates of funding and it's flying at you right now. So my point was, going back to this, during the Zika outbreak, well, we saw an exponential jump in the research that led us to today. How much you want to bet all of this was probably the catalyst for the real push to where, you know, the Wuhan and all the discussion we're talking about. That's just my gut. But nonetheless, the emergency was unjustified. This was not a real threat. And it ended up where they spent a lot of your money for research. Maybe that was the whole point. Going forward, October 26, 2017, you see the opioid crisis declared. Right. Even though it had been a crisis for way longer than that, they ignored it every turn because they were making lots of money, but they declared an emergency. Now, what you'll notice is that this emergency goes all the way to today. So the point was, does the emergency do anything other than let them spend money on something? When there's a problem, it opens up the funding floodgates. When there's not a problem, well, they have to justify it, don't they? So maybe that ongoing, never-ending emergency of the opioid crisis just gives them the ability to spend money on whatever research they want to. I don't know. All I do know is that clearly it didn't do anything. And all we did end up with spending your money and allowing them kind of an unfettered access to things that we talk about. But it goes forward. And I want to show you an interesting point. I think I have it up right here. Okay. So this is the exact point I'm making that I made yesterday that I'll make next year. Well, actually, first, we'll start with this one. So this is the first declaration of emergency. Oops. For the COVID-19 emergency, right? So this was on the first, January 31st. And as it says, as a result of confirmed cases, that's what I showed you the other day. So they had confirmed cases, which were PCR confirmed, different conversation, but they say we have all these cases. That's justifiable for a pandemic. So we have an emergency. Except after that, you know how they shifted into continuing the emergency? Well, they say as a result of the continued consequences. Well, that's an interesting shift. Well, so we have no more cases and we're not really in danger based on all the information that we're quietly keeping from everybody. But because of the continued long COVID and all the undefined, the Delta variant could be bad. So because of the continued consequences and that we showed you the HHS has basically carte blanche to just claim a declaration that we're still in danger, they're going to keep this going based on the continued consequences. And as long as the media hypes up the undefined consequences that never go away, this will never end. Exactly like what we're seeing with the opioid crisis, right? Let me show you. Okay, so it started as opioid crisis declared. And every time since, it has been as the result of the continued consequences of the opioid crisis. Words mean something. And ever since then, despite the fact that it's never really gone away and all the money they've been spending, just because they say, look, it's still there. Look, people are still dying from opioid crisis. So continue the emergency. So what's the point of it if we're not doing anything about it? Where's the money going? Are we actually fighting this? Look for yourself. 17th, 19th, July 17th, renewal of the declaration for the opioid crisis. It goes on and on and on. It's all these highlights. Every 90 days, over and over and over, all the way up to now. Last one was October 7th. It's just crazy to me, right? So the point is now we're focused on the different emergency, right? So even though they let this lapse, which they have in the past too, they could probably just bring it back up again, which by the way is a crime as far as I'm concerned. Regardless, I want to make you the point that this is an easy way to keep these emergencies going. Continued consequences from the HHS can mean literally anything they want it to mean. And they make that clear right here, which I showed you yesterday. It's about their determination. Right? So it's very clear that they highlight this as well. Like it's about, they changed it from declaration to determination. Because declaration means a statement. A determination means an opinion. All these amendments mean things, and they do these quietly with nobody paying attention until everyone pays attention during the problem. By then, it's too late. So we are here today, exactly 90 days from this one. The one where they said, well, continue consequences, even though we're not really in an emergency at all. So right now, they could be doing it. And we need to scream how that's completely illegitimate and we're not really in an emergency and we all know that. Just because you keep pointing to problems that you can't define, this is not justifiable to keep us in an emergency, because the point is the moment the emergency authorization goes away, this is what you're staring at? Well, these injections that are justified under the emergency authorization are no longer allowed. They have to wait until approval, because you need a state of emergency to justify the emergency authorization, as it states right here, as I showed you the other day. You can read this for yourself. The point is, if they keep this going, they can keep the emergency authorization for the injections that are clearly not valid to be approved. And if they are approved, then it changes the whole gamut. So what we're staring at is the continuation of the justification for the entire illusion. And we need to flip out if they renew this yet again. Now, the other point is, if they don't renew this today, tomorrow, well, suddenly every single injection being given right in that time frame is illegal because they don't have a valid state of emergency. But you think they're going to stop? I promise you they won't. So we need to speak up. I'm going to make sure I find out what actually happened. But I'm pretty sure we know what'll happen. Time to pay attention, guys, because this is getting too much. Now, one last thing I want to point out. Somebody added this comment beneath my tweet about Danny Rancourt, and they said, hey, can you do a daily wrap-up that mainly focuses on potential vaccine spike protein shedding? And I said, well, here are the, I think, 6 or 7 different shows that I've done, and I just basically posted them down below this. Here we go. See right here. Which I'm happy to do, right? And this is probably just a new person to the channel who hasn't seen what we've been doing. But I want to make a point on this about if you are new to this channel, or you know what, even those of you that have been here forever, if you are only new since COVID-19, let's say, this right here is the search button. Hit this search button, it opens the search bar, and you could type for, I don't know, somebody in the chat, give me a topic. I shouldn't do that because it's such a delay. It'll probably have to wait a minute and a half for it to pop up. But I don't know, we'll just pick something random. Like, let's just say, I don't know, just Iran. Or like, I mean, even something more specific. Because by the way, the best way to do it is not to wait for this thing to search for you. Just type something in and hit enter. Let's make it geoengineering. Oh, somebody says cannabis. That's a good one too, because there's a bazillion. But hit enter. It'll start to, did I hit it? Okay, good. It'll bring up the page where you can search, and it gives you all the examples. Now, my point in showing you all this is that this website has been going for like 15 years, long before I've been doing my show, long before even it was as prominent as it is today. Now, the point is that there's so much information here. Back in the day, it was predominantly from other websites because we were just posting other people's creative content, Creative Commons. But as you've seen over the last probably 5 years, we've shifted over to only TLab content by and large. And there's so much, there's a wealth of information here about geoengineering. Look at geoengineering Alaska, Rhode Island Surprising Geoengineering Act, and on and on and on. And this is just the beginning. Load more. There's probably 45, 50 articles just about geoengineering. So go in here and search for this stuff. And you'll find that we've been talking about some of these things for the point in doing this is it goes way faster when you bring up this window, but it's endless. There's so much information here about any crazy topics you might imagine. So my point is, you know, feel free to ask me. I'm happy to share the links, but there's so much on there that I guarantee if you're wanting to look into some topic, T-Lab's covered it 14 times. That's what I'm talking about. And it's important to get over there and do that due diligence, find the research, and then go somewhere else too. Don't just stay on The Last American Vagabond. In fact, please don't. Make sure you go to every other possible place, especially the people out there saying the opposite of me, and do your due diligence. Hopefully you'll find out that I already did mine and you go, yeah, then I agree with them because we both did. But at the end of the day, it's because you did your due diligence and you're finding that the information lines up with what I'm saying, not because you agree with me. We need to be better than them. Pretty much almost 2 hours. Pretty good show today. Oh, that's right. Let me actually play one last clip here before I wrap it up. I wanted to play what, RFK Jr. has said in the past, and we played this clip before, but this is a different one. And this is in regard to the antibody-dependent enhancement, just to kind of wrap this up at the end here. So take a listen to what he said again. This is really important because this is what happened with these injections before. This is what they point to as 10 years of research is why this was so quick. Well, if that 10 years of research was looking like this, I don't know why we would think that's a good thing.
Government's been trying for almost 30 years to develop a coronavirus vaccine, and it's been unsuccessful. And beginning in 2002, there were 3 outbreaks of coronavirus, we call them SARS at that point in MERS, and they And this, the first SARS was a natural illness that jumped from a bat to human beings. The second two were lab-created that escaped and infected human beings. And so the governments of China and a consortium of Western governments all got together and put millions and millions of dollars into an effort to develop a coronavirus vaccine. And between 2002 and 2012, 2014, they worked very hard to do that. And what happened is they developed about 35 vaccines, and four of them were really promising. They chose the four most promising, and they gave them to ferrets, which is the animal that is most analogous to human beings when it comes to upper lung respiratory infections. The ferrets had a brilliant, robust, and durable antibody response. But then something horrible happened. And those ferrets were challenged when they were exposed to the wild virus. They got horribly sick. They got inflammation throughout their bodies, and they died. Yeah. And the scientists remembered that something very similar had happened in the 1960s, where they had developed a vaccine for RSV, which is very similar to coronavirus. It's an upper respiratory infection ailment. They had skipped the animals and given them directly to 35 children. And the children, again, had developed a very robust antibody response. But when those children were exposed to the wild virus, they got very, very sick, much sicker than unvaccinated children. And two of those kids had died. It was a scandal. And they realized when the same thing happened with the ferrets, that there was something that they called enhanced immune response. It's also called pathogenic priming. And what it means is that when you get the vaccine, it appears that you have an antibody response, but when you actually encounter the wild virus, you become much sicker. And it actually creates a pathway that virus hurts you a lot more than with unvaccinated people. So this was 2012.
Now, I've talked about that a few times. I talked about his discussion of that and what he means and there's a big crossover. There's molecular mimicry. There is pathogenic priming, which I believe is even something that was coined by James Lyons Weiler, PhD, but there's also antibody dependent enhancement. Now there are differences. I actually went over this, the differences of that with James Lyons Weiler on our interview, which you should check out. But it's interesting because there's a very clear crossover and they're very similar in a lot of ways. But one is, I think, about the concept of how it interacts with the wild, and one is about how your body reacts with it on the inside. Now, you know, and I'm not the expert on this topic, but regardless, we're seeing examples of all of these things. We have an example of this being possible happening with previous examples of this exact same technology, which they point to as the justification for why this was rushed. Oh, but it wasn't rushed because we did all this. Well, kids died before. So why is that a valid thing to point to? You see, it's just very interesting how this is all going. But at the end of the day, we can see that there is more than enough reason to be concerned. Not only because this history is there, because of what we're seeing happen that correlates with that history, but because of the way they're so aggressively ignoring very, very valid information. That just has to show you that there's some level of dishonesty happening here, that they're willing to ignore some of the most obvious peer-reviewed random controlled trials that counter what they're saying. It's just staggering. My hope is that some of this can reach some new people. Now, I wanted this show to be shorter today because of the important part in the beginning. And I always say, I'll get it clipped and we'll get out there. And then I'm so behind on this stuff, but there's plenty more coming your way, plenty more clips. And hopefully when we get some more people in here, we can get that going out even faster. As well, by the way, as you guys know, hopefully in the chat, Star's working on the smaller clips for some of these new platforms, doing a fantastic job as Star always does. And there's plenty of things out there. If feel free and share the links if you want, the TikTok and the Instagram and whatever else. The whole point is just getting these little clips out there in the places for the average people to come across. And it's having a huge effect. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it. And now I just, again, as we go here on the way out, maybe the last 40 seconds for exactly 2 minutes, I cannot thank you all enough. You all in this chat, you all in the Discord, you all watching this anywhere that believe in what we're doing, this would not exist without you. And I don't talk about this much, but I'm not here asking for funding and donations because you all know what this is about. Not to say that's even wrong, because clearly people that are in this position, we don't exist without the funding. It's not like the mainstream media, right? They all disparage. If you're asking for tips, then you're a shill. It's just like, well, how exactly do you expect people to make this work? But we shifted into the support-only model. We don't have any advertisers. We don't have anything. It's only you out there supporting us. If you stop donating and supporting us, this channel no longer exists. Honestly, I'd probably just get a job and keep doing it anyway because I care about it. But the point is that this is all I do, and this is all we will do in The Last American Vagabond, because you allow that to be the case. You are The Last American Vagabond. You're part of this because you are all part of our funding. You are our support, and this is how it keeps going. There's now, you know, as always, there's t-shirts and things you can buy. The links are in the show notes, truthclothing.io. But the real point is just about sharing the content, about taking this link, sharing it with your friends, talking to them about it. Better yet, share the video, take the source material and show them that, especially those that are completely resistant, because they're going to say, oh, T-Lab is not a reputable source, or whatever that other person said, you know, despite the fact that we're pointing to the British Medical Journal and the Lancet and, you know, the people that they're supposed to listen to. It's all there for them. So just water the, you know, drop the seed, water it every now and again, right? Thank you for being here, guys. I just couldn't do this without you. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.